Welcome into the Pursuit of Manliness podcast, where we are raising the standard on what it means to be a man of God. My name is Jarrett Samuels. I'm the host of the Pursuit of Manliness podcast. Men, thank you for tuning into today's Friday podcast. On Fridays, my vision, my desire is that it's a little more casual, a little more conversational than maybe the podcast that you find earlier on in the week. Sometimes I do a Men in the Bible podcast. Today, I want to talk about actually a conversation that started within our Pursuit of Manliness closed group, and it's titled Fight or Flight. Traditionally, when you think of fight or flight, you think of the when someone is attacking you or coming at you, that you defend yourself or that you take off. We're actually going to look at it from a different angle when it comes to the Christian life, how we respond to adversity and difficult circumstances in our lives. So men, it is time for today's show. All right, men, it is time for today's show. As I said in the introduction, we're talking about this idea of fight or flight. And the conversation originated within the Pursuit of Manliness closed group with talking about when adversity comes your way, when challenges come, when you know relationships are off, maybe you've lost your job, or you found out you know somebody's upset at you, or you know those little things that can just knock us off center. And I don't want to minimize them, but what I mean is, for some of us, it can take the slightest thing to just set us off. And suddenly, it just ruined the rest of the day. We ruined the relationship. We ruined the special outing as with our family. And then there are really, really big things that I think we still have to figure out a way to stay grounded. And when I talk about fight today, that's what I'm going to talk about. Keeping your feet grounded, not taking off and fleeing. And so I think too often we tend to flee and flee emotionally, flee spiritually, flee relationally, financially. I mean, financially, think about the times that you just spend money you don't have just because you feel like garbage about yourself, or, you know, physically, you just maybe you overwork out, or you just decide I'm going to eat whatever I want to eat. You know, the things that we do because we're mad, we're not happy, we're lonely. You know, there's a lot of things that we do that, in a sense, spiritually destroy us. And that's what I'm talking about, the flight idea. We're talking about just is taking off and fleeing. And I want to use the analogy of Psalm chapter 1. And what led me to Psalm chapter 1 was actually a situation where I was having just a really weird season, really rough season. There was a 2-3, I don't know, week window there in my life where I was just really grumpy, really hard to live with. And I was venting. It was just little things in my life, venting to my wife, complaining. I don't know if you do this, but you know, our wives, God bless them, sometimes they get the brunt of it. And that was certainly the case with my wife, and I'm venting and complaining. And the truth was, no matter what she said, it wasn't going to fix the things that I was complaining about. And at one point, she tried to share like Psalms 112 with me. And I heard her say it, and I really wasn't listening. And then, you know, 2-3 days later, she tried to, I was venting and complaining, and she tried to share it again. I'm like, man, you got to be kidding me. Are we really going to do this again? And then, you know, it was a couple nights later. It was a Friday night. I'll never forget it. And I was complaining, and I'm really venting about something, and I'm throwing a man fit, if you will. And she shared it again. I thought, you have got to be kidding me that we're going to, there's nothing in Psalm 112 that's going to change my attitude, feelings, whatever about these, whatever situations. And really, what a terrible idea, because I think sometimes it's easier to say biblical things. It's easier for me to preach them, to record this podcast, to blog about it, to create videos about it, than to actually live it out. Many of us are much better online than we are in real life. We create this online persona that we are this, and, you know, and, but boy, if we were to show up at our houses, we'd find out that wasn't the case. And man, we really have to fight against that. We really have to, and keep digging out of that. That's why I try to be, when I preach, or whether it's, you know, this podcast or wherever, I try to be as transparent as possible, because I want you, as I said before, if you invite me to your camp or retreat or speak at your church or, you know, whatever, come to speak to your men, I want you to get the same guy behind this microphone that you're going to get at those events. It's really, really important to me. I try to be the same guy in my house that I am at the church or in the neighborhood. And I'm working on getting that guy better. I mean, that's really where it's at. And so, but the next day after she had shared this three times, I went to Psalm chapter 1, and I felt like God was leading me there. And I had read Psalm chapter 1 plenty. And I thought, God, I've already read Psalm 1. I think I might read Psalm chapter 2. And I felt like God going, why don't you try out Psalm chapter 1? And you might know this, but Psalm chapter 1 starts off with, you know, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the seat or in the way of sinners, forgive me, or sits in the seat of scoffers. So this idea that blessed is the guy that doesn't do this stuff. I'm like, okay, cool, that's not me. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. That in that moment, my wife is trying to share scripture with me, and I'm finding absolutely no delight in it. I am fleeing, if you will, anything spiritually. And here's what really convicted me from that. He says, and on the law, he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted in streams of water. Now, where's the best place for a tree to be? Where it can grow. So in a real turbulent season, in a stormy season, when the weather is changing, the seasons are changing, if the tree runs up the hill and takes off the hill, it's going to die of just dehydration. It's been uprooted from where it's supposed to be, that we need to keep ourselves planted in streams of water. So it got me to ask this question. When difficult times come my way, what is my natural instinct? I would love to know from you guys. Leave a comment below this video, whether it's on wherever you find it at. Leave a comment below. What is your natural instinct when difficult times come your way? Is it solitude? Is it going to the Word of God? Is it reaching out to your pastor? Is it connecting with your small group? Is it just eating food? Like, what is your natural reaction? Do we move towards God or do we move towards the flesh? Because I'll confess, in that season and in too many seasons, I move towards the flesh. And when I move towards the flesh, I am uprooting the tree that is my life, and I'm running up the hill towards starvation when it comes to things spiritual. And then I wonder why difficult challenges come my way. Well, I don't know why. Boy, it was this, but now it's really, really difficult. It's difficult because you got your feet out of the streams of water where it needs to actually be planted. So when I think about decisions, and in those moments, do I make a decision based on God's will? Or do I make a decision based on my feelings and emotions? Here's the truth. Nobody cares how you feel. That might sound abrasive, that might sound rude, that might sound unbiblical, unchristian, but at the end of the day, nobody cares how you feel. I've met with people like this. You meet with them or talk with them, and it's just one emotion after another emotion after another emotion. And you want to call time out and go, do you think I don't have any of these emotions? Or am I the only person that you can vent to about these? I mean, what is it? Not that you shouldn't find people to share these emotions with, but I think we are too apt to just vomit our emotions on people. And when you vomit your emotions on people, you have now create this volcanic rush that just runs down, and suddenly you spent an hour just vomiting your life onto them. You're probably not going to feel any better about the situation when you leave, and now you've just laid all your dirty laundry out in front of them, whatever's going on. And they're probably not going to answer your text message next time when they want to get together for coffee. One of the things that just drives me nuts, and I don't care if you do it, but I don't. Hopefully I will never, ever do this. I said the same thing about hashtags on Facebook, and I think I did that the other day. So is when Facebook did the feeling thing, like feeling happy, feeling sad, feeling optimistic, feeling. And I see that, and I think just because you have an emotion doesn't mean you have to run there and post it. Because when you do this, you have now brought a lot of people in on a conversation. And I think that's what some people are looking for. I want more people to rally around me, and maybe that's what you want. But I think in the long run, that's probably not what you're going to want, because what you want is, if I really need someone to rally around me, if I really need, it takes a village idea in that season. When I put it out there, I want people to respond. But if I'm always putting that out there, every 4 weeks, there's a new, something attached to it. At some point, they're going to think, man, this guy's just crying wolf. And again, remember, everybody is carrying something in their life. I had a recent conversation with someone, and they just kept going. And I want to say, I have all those things and more. I really did. I really did feel like I had every one of those things that they're saying and more. I do this because of this, and I do this because of this. And I'm like, yeah, we're trying to figure that out too. Yeah, and so it's like you are the doctor, but inside you're not healthy either. And I know this for pastors, and this is really challenging. And I'm looking at, there's some things in the works here. I shouldn't say in the works, but there's some things that I believe are going to happen because pastors are paid to be healthy. But who gets them healthy? Like more times than not, the people in your congregation are looking for you to preach a sermon that's interesting enough or for you to create a ministry that's dynamic enough that they want to maybe engage in or not. But if it's a holiday weekend, we're probably not going to be there, so don't be mad. But you should still show up, and just in case I do show up, and I want you to provide, you know, these opportunities. And I'm like, well, who gets the pastor healthy? Where does the pastor go for health? Because even if the pastor leaves that church, guess what? He goes to another church, and the speedway is going just as fast there. And there's things happening and conversations happening. And man, when you have people in your church who will pour into you, it's such a blessing. And so I know people go to church to like get healthier, but it has to be something that you're doing Monday through Saturday. Sunday or Saturday, wherever you worship, should be a reflection of Monday through whatever day that is. All right. And so many times in my life, I have allowed emotional situations, emotional moments, moments where my pride was hurt, moments where it became about me, moments where I took something from my perspective and I just assumed I was always right. I can't tell you the number of times that's happened in my life. And one of the reasons why I cannot tell you the number of times that's happened is because how many times have I been wrong and I didn't know it? And the point is this, how many times have I been emotional about something? I got angry about something. I ruined a trip with my wife and kids, or I ruined a dinner, or I got mad about this, or I got upset at this person, or I got, how many times has that happened because of emotion that I didn't have control over? And what happens is in the long run, you kind of end up being embarrassed about it, or at least you should. And that shows that we're not as disciplined as we need to be. I think about the NFL Hall of Fame ceremony that Terrell Owens got inducted to the Hall of Fame. You might know this, you might not. He decided because it took him 3 times to get into the Hall of Fame, he was mad at the voters, he was mad at the process. So he decided to hold his own Hall of Fame ceremony for himself at the University of Tennessee, Chattanooga. Meanwhile, there's this ridiculous weekend that goes on for all the Hall of Famers with the gold jackets, and you get rings, and you get all these just incredible. And to hear these men talk about it, you're like, especially if you're a football fan, you just kind of salivate over sitting with, you know, what would be football royalty on earth. That's one of the highest honors you can get, would be to be in something like that, something called the Hall of Fame. Now, I know we're looking for a greater reward in heaven. I know that. But he chose to go to the University of Tennessee, Chattanooga, where he went to college and have his own little deal by himself with a number of fans instead of getting that. And I think years down the road, he's going to regret that because it was an emotional decision. Pride was hurt. His feelings were hurt. He was a little embarrassed. Guys were getting in at that point on the first ballot that he thought he was better than, or at least as good as, and he was getting in on his third ballot. And so pride gets in the way. And what I realize is in those moments when pride gets in the way and emotions take over, I begin to avoid God's word, God's people, God's commands. I begin to move away from what can actually give me life, and I begin to move towards the flesh. Listen, location is key. More times than not, those who stay connected to God, God's word, and God's people do not fall away and destroy their life. Those who stay connected to God, his word, and his people, more times than not, will see themselves through the storm, will ride it out, will stay emotionally, mentally, spiritually grounded. Those who avoid God's word, I'm mad, I'm whatever, the last thing I want to do is read the Bible. There you go. You're a tree running up the hill. I'm mad at those people at church. I'm going to find a different church. I'm going to find a different place to worship. They won't let me on the team. They won't let me do this. Someone took my seat. I don't like the decisions that were made. You're running up the hill. It's a dangerous place to be. I'm mad at God. He took this person away from me. This circumstance is too difficult. You're running up the hill. And that's a great way to destroy your life. There's no situation or circumstance in our life that gives us permission to ignore or to attempt to ignore God, his word, his commands, or his people. There's not. So what happens here? So we'll look at the flight. This is what happens when people begin to destroy themselves. When they're in the flight, they take off, they avoid. They avoid God, the Bible, they avoid other Christians. What they should avoid is the old habits that are destroying them. They should avoid letting everyone know their emotional state. They should avoid negative people who actually hurt or hinder their life, or at least will be in environments that are a temptation for them. They should avoid characteristics that will destroy them and hurt them and ultimately embarrass them and cause regret. That's what we should avoid. But we generally avoid the things that are good, the things that give life, the things that are light. The fight is, we got to stay in the fight, men. We have to pursue God's word. We have to pursue finding delight in it. There are times that God's word is hard, it's difficult, it's challenging. Depending where you're at with your reading, it could be really challenging. If you're in the middle of, you know, First Chronicles, that's going to be more challenging than being in, you know, Philippians, or going through Romans or Hebrews is going to be more of a mental wrestling match than going through like John, you know. So depending where you're at, it's going to be challenging, but you find delight in God's word. God, this word was for me as much as it was for the people that it was originally delivered to, and I find delight in that I lay in my bed and I actually think about and meditate on the word of God. I mean, ask yourself, when's the last time I was laying in bed at night and I thought about the word of God? I thought about what I had read during the day. I put the earbuds in and I listened to, you know, the Bible app, or, you know, I listened to something that I was, you know, I listened to Psalms as I lay on my bed. When's the last time that you did that? Generally, I'm thinking of, you know, what's going to happen the next day. I'm reviewing the day that I just had, maybe a sermon that I'm going to teach coming up, or a series that I'm thinking about. But to intentionally, you know, lay in your bed or sit at work or drive your car and meditate, think about, pursue the word of God, and then to the point where you find delight in it, that you realize, you know, this is why God has that included in there, or this is how it leads me on this journey towards, you know, righteousness and holiness. And one of the things I pray for often is moving towards maturity, that I know my weaknesses. I know the areas that I know the times, I should say, that I tend to run up the hill spiritually and emotionally. And I'm thinking, I need to keep my feet planted in streams of water like that tree. I actually have that visual in my mind many times when I find myself getting, you know, emotionally off center, or just sensing that this is not leading a good direction, that I keep my feet, you know, planted in streams of water. And I just wonder if you, again, what's your strategy when you think about it? Is there a way that you, you know, meditate on God's word? Do you, you know, write it on an index card and carry it in your pocket? Do you tape it to a mirror as you get ready? Like, where do you, how do you keep that in front of you, man? I'd love for you guys, if you would, leave some comments about that. This is what I do. I carry this in my wallet, or I have my, you know, my password is my favorite scripture, or we have, you know, what is your strategy? Because when you post that and you comment on that, I truly believe it helps other men. It's good for you to do that. It's good for me to see it. But I think there's, you know, inadvertently other people who are going to see that. And so I would encourage you, hey, let me know like how you do that. What's your strategy to stay grounded in the Word of God, thinking about it and then applying it? And again, the key to this is stay. And remember, when we're talking about staying, we're staying in the streams of living water. We're staying connected to God, His Word, and His people. Too often, the tendency is to move away from that, to not feel like that, or feel like those are Sunday school answers that don't apply to our real life situation. So we want to think about staying connected to that which gives us life in all seasons, good seasons, bad seasons. And again, when we move away from these streams of water, we don't stay. And we're trying to, you know, in a sense, fight on our own. And it's going to be fruitless. It's going to be very, very defeating. And then we get up that hill and we get away from that which gives us life. And we, you know, start, you know, waving our arms in the air saying, you know, life isn't fair. And man, I'm just, you know, I'm up against it. Or, you know, how connected are we to what gives us and sustains us with life? Probably not very good. And so we want to stay in the fight by doing that which gives you strength, right? That's how you win the fight. Think about it. Have there been seasons of your life where you stayed in the fight? And when I mean fight, I think spiritual fight, that regardless of how you felt, regardless of your circumstances, how you were treated, how, you know, someone responded to you, that you diligently went back to the Word of God and you still remained in Him and remained in the Word and stayed connected. Can you think about times where that's happened? I've had the opportunity to share this with a few people. And when I think about those seasons where they were really difficult for a variety of different reasons, when I remained, when I stayed in the fight, my character, my maturity, my perspective. It was all much greater than when I started that. But in those seasons where I ran, if you will, from the things of God, I avoided God, or I avoided the Word of God, or certainly avoided accountability with His people, or even community with His people. When I just did what the flesh wanted to do, when I just responded out of my emotions and my feelings, more times than not, I believe God allows you to repeat those seasons over to get you to learn them. You know, we always wish God would reveal more to us, or God would, you know, allow us to do more. I mean, I've had seasons like that where you're like, I feel like I'm right there. I'm ready to do more. And more times than not, what I've learned is God is waiting for us to be obedient. He's led us to a place where He says, your character will only take you this far. And we need to go further. And the best way to do this is for you to learn obedience and how to remain in Him. Again, I have never met a man or experienced this myself who relentlessly pursued God, the Word of God, and the people of God, and yet fall away. This is how you win the fight daily. Every day you get up, every day you answer the call, every day you pursue God and the things of God. Every day you take up your cross daily, as Jesus said to do. You take a stand, you represent, you have a presence as a man of God, right? Wherever you go, wherever your feet tread, you do this every single day, in season and out of season, which means when you feel like it and when you don't feel like it, when things are going your way, when nothing's going your way, you keep answering the bell and saying, God, I need you to fight for me. As your word says, that sometimes all I need to do is just be still. I'm going to be still in this moment with you. Being still doesn't mean I'm going to take a nap on my couch and be still right there. God, you take care of this. No, be still is I'm going to be still in you. I'm going to remain in you. I'm going to keep my feet planted in streams of water, good seasons, bad seasons, all seasons, knowing, God, that this is all in your hands. And regardless of what happens to me, God, my feet will not slip as long as I remain in you. I mean, that's how we win the fight. We have to be mindful that when we choose our own will, when we choose our own flesh, when we choose, you know, to move ourselves away from the things of God, we will lose. And sometimes in that moment, we throw, you know, kind of that mini toddler fit of, I don't care, this is what I want. But that's really regretful. And so guys, I just want you to think on that. And I would love to get your feedback. I really do ask for that, you know, how has that worked for you in those seasons where you did remain in God? What fruit did you see come from that? What victories were won in those seasons where God led you through that wilderness, if you will? You weren't where you were, and you weren't where you're going to be. So in that season, what happened in that? I'd also like to know if you had seasons where you wandered away from God, or it had to be seasons, but you had moments. Maybe it was a day or two, and you know, like I had those 2-3 days where I was just, you know, having my little pity party. You know, what did you learn from that? What do you learn from those seasons where you decide, I'm going to do what I want to do because I want to do it? So guys, I would really like your feedback. I'd love to hear from you. If you would leave your comments below, wherever you see this podcast posted, man, I'll get back in there. I want to engage with you. And as I said earlier, more importantly, I think other guys benefit from learning from you and learning from your experience as well. So guys, thanks for listening to this Friday podcast on Fight or Flight. I hope that you check Pursuit of Manliness out on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. As always, if you go to iTunes, click subscribe while you're there. Man, if you leave a review, I can't thank you guys enough that do that. We're also on Google Play. And as I was sharing on some of our platforms this week, man, go to YouTube, if you will. This particular podcast will not be on there, the video portion of it, but we're putting more and more videos and things on there just, again, to equip guys. We're reaching guys on all different platforms, even guys that have reached out to me through LinkedIn, and I'm on LinkedIn, and so I post some stuff on there as well. So guys, thank you for listening to The Pursuit of Manliness, and again, let's keep raising the standard on what it means to be a man of God. Joe.